Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that always turns on the TV just as a relevant news report is beginning. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Rob Papa Bear Corindon.
If beating you at trivia is cool, then call me Miles Davis.
Liz, the critic, Shannon Miller.
To quote the great Magnitude, pop, pop.
And Scott, the Esquire, Harvey.
Your objections to my winning are noted, but overruled.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show in the Vancouver Rehearsal Tapes Division Finals. This last playoff match of the seventh season will complete the lineup for our seventh season finale. Joining us today, keeping the scores as per usual, it is Score Master Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. You know, my son has been talking about these Doge memes, but it turns out he doesn't know the first thing about Venetian history, and I don't even know what a bingus is.
Dan, always here with the Byzantine intros.
Taylor, the Byzantines and the Venetians are totally, they fought wars, right? That's how the Acropolis gets wrecked. Come on, man.
The one time I try to pretend like I'm smart, hopefully someone who'll be a little nicer to my attempts at intelligence is Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave. Truly one of the darkest omens we could have had for what is in store for this episode. So I think it's time to move on to our first game, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our three competitors today has chosen a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture. The catch? We pick the battle those champions are fighting. Wallet Inspector Rob Corridon, who have you got for your champion?
I have Kevin McAllister from the movie Home Alone.
Writer and professional nerd Liz Shannon Miller, who's your champion?
I have picked Selena Meyer from the HBO comedy/documentary series Veep.
And the never married divorce lawyer, Scott Harvey, who is your champion?
My champion is Gary Valentine from the movie Licorice Pizza.
All right. Three champions are all locked in. Production Master Dave is on judge duties today. So let's spin that scenario wheel. On this day, October 10th in 1967, the basis of international space law was established with the signing of the Treaty on Principles Governing the Activities of States in the Exploration and Use of Outer Space, including the Moon and other celestial bodies, informally known as the Outer Space Treaty. It establishes that the universe beyond Earth's limits belongs to all of humanity, and no one nation state can claim sovereignty over outer space or any celestial body. Which champion would best circumvent the treaty and lay claim to the moon? Rob, why is Home Alone's Kevin McAllister going to find his way around the Outer Space Treaty and lay claim to the moon?
Kevin McAllister has a noted history of being able to outwit and outsmart any adults who try to get in his way. And he also has kind of an odd sense of justice. He didn't want to sleep with Fuller because Fuller pees the bed. And he's had to defend large properties by himself from seemingly insurmountable odds. And so I think that he would find his way to the moon and hold it against any and all defenders of that treaty.
Thank you, Rob. All right, Liz, how about Vice President Selena Meyer from Veep laying claim to the moon?
I mean, the thing with Selena Meyer is she is a ruthless politician who not only knows how to read laws and, you know, negotiate them, she knows how to circumvent them and get around them in ways that may or may not be strictly legal. But we're talking about taking over the moon here, which is a very cool thing to do. And so she would figure out the coolest way to do it. And, you know, possibly somebody on her staff would go to jail as a result, but not her. So that's fine.
Thank you, Liz. And Scott, how about young entrepreneur Gary Valentine from Licorice Pizza?
So what we know about Gary Valentine is that he's a hustler, and over the course of the movie, he starts a number of businesses. He's probably circumventing some laws just to start those businesses, being a teenager as he is. He also has a futurist mindset, so to speak. We see him get in on the very ground level of the waterbed business before it's even a popular thing. So he sort of has his mind on what the next big thing is. And it sounds like, you know, space is that next frontier. And I think Gary's well equipped to find his way there, just as he finds his way into a number of other fields that he probably shouldn't be able to find his way into.
Thank you, Scott. All right, Dave, who is going to be today's My Champion winner?
Well, this is not going to end the way I thought it was when we first started hearing these character names. Kevin from Home Alone, definitely smarter than all the adults, has excellent defensive skills, but here's the problem. He never leaves home. Liz from Veep, definitely ruthless, definitely willing to twist the law, and she would absolutely have a staff patsy at the ready. But I have to believe that whole claiming the moon for herself thing is going to be really hard to navigate while being the leader of the free world. That's a tricky situation. And although we know that she is willing to sort of put herself out there and she does get into some bad situations, she is not exactly the master statesperson that we need for a challenge like this. So I'm going to give it to Gary Valentine. And I think the fact that he is willing to be first on scene for a new situation, whether that's the waterbed industry or moon ownership, I feel like he's sort of like a music man kind of, you know, let's build the monorail in Springfield kind of character coming in here. And he's going to make the moon happen for himself. So today we have Gary Valentine, the winner of My Champion for Scott.
Woo! All right, Scott, you have won My Champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question right and you'll have half a point more than Rob or Liz. Here is your half-point question. What repetitively titled song from Ohio Express was Homer Simpson too busy enjoying to watch the original moon landing?
Repetitively titled song. Ohio Express, there's some one-hit wonder names that stick in my head. That's not really one of them, and I'm guessing that's kind of the deal that we're talking about here. So I'll say a generic na-na-na-na.
In this case, we are talking the song Yummy, Yummy, Yummy. I've got love in my tummy, and I feel like loving you, by Ohio Express. According to Dave Barry, the third worst song of all time.
Wow.
Well, that's going to take us right into round one, where Scott's going to go first, called Tunes for Tots. Though many songs sing the word baby, a lot of them aren't designed for actual babies. But what if they were? In this game, I'll play a children's music box version of a popular song that has the word baby in the title. You name that song. For instance, if I played you this clip, you'd know that song was simply titled
Baby.
Yes, Baby by Justin Bieber featuring Ludacris. That would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, I can tell you the song's original artist and year of release, at which point a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's kick off round one with a clip for Scott.
The last part of it sounded really familiar, so I'd like to hear a replay. I believe that's Baby One More Time by Britney Spears. Hit me, baby, one more
time. Correct for 10 points to Scott. Next up is for Rob.
I believe that's Santa Baby.
Santa Baby.
Yes, by Eartha Kitt. Very good. Next up to Liz.
hope I have the title right, Baby Love? Baby Love.
By the Supremes. Excellent start to round one for everybody. Let's kick it back to Scott.
It sounds really familiar, but I think the lack of lyrics is going to make it difficult. So I'm going to ask for the hint.
This is a Mariah Carey song from 1995.
Not an artist that I'm super familiar with. Yeah, I don't have it. Pass. Always Be My
Baby. Yes, that is Always Be My Baby. Next up, we are back to Rob.
I definitely need the hint, please.
This is a Beach Boys song from 1964.
I don't know many Beach Boys songs, and we've already had an example with the word baby in it. So is this Baby Deuce Coupe?
Don't Worry Baby is that title. Little Deuce Coupe is the other Beach Boys song I think you're thinking of. Next up, we are back to Liz.
I would like a repeat, and if it's okay, I'd like to sing along.
Please.
Here we go. This will be on the show if you sing along, just so you know.
Okay, that's fine. I can handle it. Be my baby. Be my baby. We'll let it go. We'll let it go. Be my baby. Be my baby now. I have the raw lyrics.
Yes, the Ronettes. That is Be My Baby. 10 points to Liz. Next up, we will kick it back to Scott.
I'm trying to play through it in my head as you do. Let me ask for a replay on it. It was what I was under the first time around, I believe, Under Pressure. Ice, ice,
baby. Under Pressure does not have baby in the title, so that is Ice, Ice, Baby, a song that legally does not sample Under Pressure, yeah, as a court did determine at the time.
Although we should say, of course, that David Bowie does have a songwriting credit on because it is the same notes.
There's one extra note in the bass line in the Vanilla Ice version.
Yeah.
He still got the songwriting credit on it.
Okay. I'm just citing precedent. Scott understands what that is. He's a lawyer.
But I control the notes, Taylor, so we know what's going in the notes about this.
That's why it's worse that I missed it.
All right, we are back up next with another baby song, baby style clip for Rob.
Can you play that again for me, please? I'm going to need the hint, please.
This is a song by Sir Mix-a-Lot from 1992.
Okay, this is Baby Got Back.
Baby Got Back!
Yes, with that opening synthy bass line from Baby Got Back. Next up, we are back to Liz.
I'm going to take the hint.
A song originally from 1930, but the biggest hit version is by Nat King Cole from 1952.
After all that, I have to pass. I'm sorry.
Walking my baby back home.
An old song from the Great American Songbook that is Walking My Baby Back Home. And that's going to walk us right into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Right now, Scott has 10 points. Rob and Liz are tied for lead. They each have 20.
All right, kicking it back in. Our next Baby Style Baby song is for Scott.
I'm going to need the hint.
This is a James Taylor song from 1970.
My mom would know it. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to pull it. Take one more second. Nope, pass.
Rock-a-bye, sweet baby Jane.
The title track off that album, that is Sweet Baby James. Next up, we are over to Rob.
I need the hint, please.
This is a Bob Dylan song from 1965.
So Bob Dylan sings a lot about farms, and I don't know the answer, so I'm just going to say I pass. I can't even come up with it. Sorry.
Bob Dylan sings a lot about farms, so I pass.
And it's all over now, baby blue.
Maggie's Farm by Bob Dylan is on side one of the album Bringing It All Back Home, but this song is the closing track on side two. It is It's All Over Now, Baby Blue.
I thought guessing Baby Farm would be a little off base.
And next up, over to Liz.
Kind of weird that this has so many Christmas songs involved. The answer is Baby It's Cold Outside.
Ah, but it's cold outside.
Yes, for 10 points. Coming into everyone's last baby song, this one is for Scott.
Sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm going to ask for the hint.
This is a Cat Stevens song from 1967.
I mean, I know he says it in the lyrics of the song, but it's not in the title. I'm just going to say Wild World.
Here comes my baby.
That is Here Comes My Baby, with the opening chimes line sounding very similar to the original recording. Next up, we are back to Rob.
I'm going to need the hint, please.
This song's origins are debated, but the most popular version is recorded by a group called Pinkfong.
Oh. Yes, I'm very familiar with Baby Shark.
Yes, for 5. And closing out round one, one more clip for Liz.
I'll take the hint.
A song by Rafi from the year 1980.
I'm gonna have to pass.
Baby Beluga.
The iconic Baby Beluga. Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to round two.
Going around two, it's time for the RRR score break. RRR, the only movie with the courage to defeat colonialism with a dance-off and a tiger. At this point, Liz in the lead with 30 points, Rob has 20, Scott has 10. You might notice a discrepancy with the scores I reported halfway through the first round. That's because I was busy looking up who actually got the credits on Ice Ice Baby, and so I missed a little bit there. I blame Taylor.
What else is new? All right, thank you, Dan. But that means Scott's going to get a chance to make up a little ground with The Threequalizer. Scott, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of them as you can for 10 points apiece. Your Threequalizer question is, on the Apple TV Plus show Dickinson, Emily Dickinson meets other heavyweights of American literature. Among them are the writers of Walden, Little Women, and The Bell Jar. Name those writers.
Okay. As an English major, this is a little more up my alley than the Muppets question was that I got last time on the Threequalizer. So I believe Walden is Thoreau. Little Women is Louisa May Alcott. And The Bell Jar is Sylvia Plath.
A perfect Threequalizer for Scott. Well done. Hopefully that literary knowledge is going to help you out as well in round two, entitled
Muppets on Parade.
Entitled Chapter and Verse. This is a pop culture quiz show, but we sometimes try to class things up a little bit. Today, we're doing that by reading some poetry, but we've cut out bits that inspired the names of movies and TV shows. After you hear the expurgated clip, you'll have to name the property inspired by the words we cut out of the verse. So, if we told you that the title of a 2004 sci-fi romance movie was from this poem, How Happy is the Blameless Vestal's Lot? The World Forgetting by the World Forgot. Blank, 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 blank. Each prayer accepted and each wish resigned. You'd know that movie was
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That answer would get you 20 points. If you need more help, we can tell you a little bit more about the property in question, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, we'll go a little more lowbrow with a follow-up question for 10 more points. Keeping that streak from the Threequalizer, let's start round two with Scott. This is a 1953 war movie, original poem. We're poor little lambs who've lost our way. We're little black sheep who've gone astray. Gentlemen rankers out on the spree. Damned blank 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 blank. God have mercy on such as we.
See, I get something in my head based on the year, and then when it doesn't fit that, I have to scramble a little bit. I think I'm going to need the hint on that one.
This movie stars Burt Lancaster and Deborah Carr.
From Here to Eternity.
Yes, for 10 points, that is From Here to Eternity, with a title that comes from Kipling's poem, Gentlemen Rankers. Follow-up for Scott, this actress, who wins an Oscar for her performance as Alma in From Here to Eternity, went on to star in a self-titled sitcom that ran from 1958 to 1966.
This was a really bad wrong answer that I had last time, and I think it's going to be a bad wrong answer again. I Love Lucy.
This time we're talking Donna Reed, star of The Donna Reed Show, taking home that supporting actress trophy from Here to Eternity. Next up, we are over to Rob. Rob, this is the title of a 2017 fantasy movie, the poem. I saw them and I knew them all, and yet dauntless the slughorn to my lips I set, and blew. Child Roland to blank 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 came.
I'm going to need the hint, please.
This movie stars Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba.
This is The Dark Tower?
Yes, coming from Elizabeth Barrett Browning's poem, Child Roland to the Dark Tower Came. Still for Rob, Idris Elba plays Stacker Pentecost in this 2013 giant robot movie.
I haven't seen it, but the only giant robot movie I can think of is Pacific Rim.
Yes, where Idris Elba gives almost verbatim the inspiring speech from Independence Day. Next up, we are back to Liz with a 1939 drama film. But Mousie, thou art no thy lane. improving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes, blank, 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 gang after glay and lay us not but grief and pain.
Believe that's Of Mice and Men.
For the full 20 from the Robert Burns poem, To a Mouse. Still for Liz, Burgess Meredith, star of that 1939 version of Mice and Men, went on to play this bad guy on the 1966 Batman TV show.
Believe it's the Riddler.
Scott knows this one.
Penguin.
Yes, Frank Gorshin playing the Riddler on that series. Except we are back to Scott with a title of a 1992 thriller. Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place. For blank, 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 is the hand that rules the world.
I don't think my mind works quick enough to try and do like the rhyming in my head, so I'm just trying to run through 1992 thrillers, and I'm coming up short at the moment, so I'll ask for him.
This movie stars Annabella Sciorra and Rebecca De Mornay.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Good job for 10, coming from the William Ross Williams poem, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Still for Scott, the writer of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Amanda Silver, also has a writing credit on this 2015 franchise revival movie.
Things coming to me. I think it's even the wrong year. Terminator Genesis.
Terminator Genesis 2016. In this case, we're talking Jurassic World, with her credited alongside Derek Connolly.
For the people at home, and for me, Taylor, walk us through how you knew Terminator Genesis, probably the most forgetful of the Terminator films, was in 2016. How did you know that?
I bought a new television in 2016, and it was the first thing that I watched on it. I have that very specific
memory. You were all witness to Taylor Cole's mind palace.
Hey, Taylor.
Yeah.
Terminator Genesis came out in July 1st, 2015 in the U.S.
In the U.S., really?
Yeah, June 22nd in Berlin, July 1st, 2015 in the U.S.
Thanks for coming out. Oh. Podcast over. Mind palace closed.
Next up, we are back to Rob with a 2006 sci-fi movie. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he hath given to the blank, blank, blank.
I need the hint, please.
This movie stars Julianne Moore and Clive Owen.
Oh, this is the Children of Men.
Yes, coming out of the King James Bible from Psalm 116. Still for Rob, Julianne Moore mostly works in high-minded movies, but she also had a recurring role as Nancy Donovan on this 2006 NBC sitcom.
2006 NBC sitcom. I do remember her from being Jack Donaghy's sister on 30 Rock. That's my answer, 30 Rock.
Not his sister, just an old flame from the past, but 30 Rock, nonetheless, correct. Next up, we are over to Liz. This title is that of a 1981 sports movie. Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire. Bring me my spear, O clouds unfold. Bring me my blank, blank, blank.
Chariots of Fire.
Another full 24, Liz. That comes from the William Blake poem, Jerusalem. Today, Ben Cross from Chariots of Fire is best known for playing Sarek in the 2009 reboot of this franchise.
Star Trek.
Another 10 for Liz. Kicking it back, our next poetically inspired title is for Scott. It is that of a 2019 HBO series. Confusedly, and which thus must ever fight, unless the Almighty Maker them ordain. Blank, 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 to create more worlds. Into this wild abyss, the wary fiend stood on the brink of hell and looked a while.
Nope, need the hint.
The series stars Daphne Keene and Ruth Wilson.
Daphne Keene and Ruth Wilson. The only thing that I can think of with Ruth Wilson is not going to fit it. The Affair.
In this case, we were talking the TV version of Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials, with Daphne Keene from Logan also showing up on that show. His Dark Materials, that title being pulled from Milton's Paradise Lost. Still for Scott, Ruth Wilson has the role of Rebecca in this 2013 big-budget Disney Western.
John Carter.
In this case, we're talking the big-screen adaptation of The Lone Ranger.
Poor Ruth Wilson.
Oh, truly. We are back up to Rob with a poetically inspired title of a 2007 neo-Western. That is blank, 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 blank. The young in one another's arms, birds in the trees, those dying generations at their song. The salmon falls, the mackerel crowded seas, fish, flesh, or fowl commend all summer long. Whatever is begotten, born and dies.
I have to ask for the hint again, please.
This movie stars Tommy Lee Jones and Javier Bardem.
This is No Country for Old Men.
Yes, from the opening lines of William Butler Yeats's Sailing to Byzantium. Still for Rob, Tommy Lee Jones played Harvey Dent, a.k.a. Two-Face, in this Batman movie.
None of the Tim Burton ones, because I know those characters, and so I'm deciding between the last two, and I know it was the third one, and I think it was called Batman Forever.
Reasoned it out, 10 points for Batman Forever. We are back to Liz. This is the title of a 1998 fantasy movie. To die, to sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, blank, 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 when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause.
What dreams may come.
From Shakespeare's Hamlet, that is What Dreams May Come. Star of What Dreams May Come, Cuba Gooding Jr., inherits a team of animals in this 2002 Disney feature.
Perfect follow-up for an Oscar win, Snow Dogs.
Very good, and that's going to take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Right now, Scott has 60 points, Rob is a bit ahead with 80, Liz has been on fire this round. She has 110 points and the lead.
Well done, Liz. We are getting back into it with another one for Scott. This is the title of a 1980 musical. In blank did Kubla Khan, a stately pleasure dome decree, where Alf, the sacred river, ran through caverns measureless to man, down to a sunless sea.
I believe we're back to the clip from the start of the show, Xanadu.
From Samuel Taylor Coleridge's Kubla Khan, the poet that always pops up when I Google myself, that is indeed Xanadu. Still for Scott, Robert Greenwald, who directed Xanadu, also headed this classic 1984 TV movie starring Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, this vaguely rings a bell. I'm not going to get it past.
That title is The Burning Bed.
Vaguely rings a bell is kind of our whole milieu here. That's what we're going for.
Yeah. Coming back from here to the end of the game, we are in Shakespeare territory. So every single one of these remaining titles will be a line from William Shakespeare. This is the title of a 1959 thriller. I am but mad, blank, blank, blank. When the wind is southerly, I know a hawk from a handsaw.
I need the clue, please.
This movie stars Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint.
So 1959 thriller, I believe that is To Catch a Thief.
It is not To Catch a Thief, though that title does have a great iambic pentameter to it. We're talking North by Northwest with Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint.
Hey, Taylor, you want to redeem yourself? What year did To Catch a Thief come out?
I have no idea.
Oh, 1955. I thought you were hesitating because you knew that. Sorry.
No, I was hesitating because I don't feel well.
Oh, sorry, Taylor.
That's fine. Still for Rob, Eva Marie Saint played Maddie's mother in this 1985 comedy mystery TV series.
What's happening to this episode?
I don't know.
Is Taylor going to poop his pants live on TV? Oh,
sorry.
Well, now I can't even think of the answer.
Can you just reset that?
I'm gonna just visualize
it again. Because I can't edit around that.
No, I can't. Absolutely cannot. All right. Still for Rob, Eva Marie Saint played Maddie's mother on this 1985 comedy mystery TV series.
The Facts of Life.
Here we're talking moonlighting with Eva Marie Saint on that series.
I mean, it is a mystery. What are the facts of life in a way? But mostly sitcom.
The title North by Northwest, of course, coming from Shakespeare's Hamlet. Next, we are back to Liz with the title of a 2003 Canadian TV series. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the blank, blank, blank of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them.
Helps to have studied Hamlet on this one. Slings and arrows.
Correct for 20. Still for Liz, one of the credited creators of Slings and Arrows is Mark McKinney, who also played Glenn on this 2015 NBC sitcom.
Very nice man. Superstore.
Another 10 for Liz. Keeping our Shakespeare run going with another one for Scott. This is the title of a 2020 Peacock series. Oh, wonder, how many goodly creatures are there here? How beauteous mankind is. Oh, blank, blank, blank that has such people in it.
Preemptively apologizing to my best friend who works at Peacock. I don't know any of their series off the top of my head. I'll take the hint.
The series stars Alden Ehrenreich and Jessica Brown Findlay.
I have heard of both of those people, but I don't think I have heard of this show. So I will say the only show I think I've ever watched on Peacock, which is Frogger.
Can you reread that with Frogger in it, please?
How beauteous mankind is. Oh, Frogger that has such people in it. In this case, we are talking Brave New World with that quote from Shakespeare's The Tempest, adapting the Aldous Huxley novel for Peacock.
Don't feel bad, Scott. Nobody watched that show. That's why you don't hear about it anymore.
I watched it, but I got paid for it. So
there you go. Still for Scott, Jessica Brown Findlay from Brave New World voices Lenore on this gothic video game inspired Netflix cartoon.
I don't know. Did they have a Castlevania series?
They did. 10 points. Next up, we are back to Rob for a 1983 movie based on a Ray Bradbury book. Like elves and fairies in a ring, enchanting all that you put in. By the pricking of my thumbs, blank, 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 blank.
There's a lot of blanks there. I can ask for the hint, please.
This movie stars Jason Robards and Diane Ladd.
Oh, that's not helping. I will pass.
This title is Something Wicked This Way Comes, coming from one of the witch quotes in Macbeth. Still for Rob, Ray Bradbury also wrote the story that became this 2005 dinosaur-based time travel flop.
The only movie from around that time I remember with dinosaurs in it is The Tree of Life. I don't think that's right, but that's my guess.
That is A Sound of Thunder, based on the Ray Bradbury short story. Our last question in round two is for Liz. It's the title of a 2001 HBO series. From this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we blank, blank, blank. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile.
Wow, that was really, I was nearly stumped on that one. It's Band of Brothers.
Yes, with the St. Crispin's Day speech from Shakespeare's Henry V inspiring that title. Still for Liz, among the Band of Brothers is this member of the New Kids on the Block.
I believe it's Donnie Wahlberg.
For another 10. Excellent work, Liz, throughout round two. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to our final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
He's not in a prison, but is in a cell. There are 50 hostages that he put through hell. He talks to the audience and tells them no lies. His girlfriend was a suspect due to her bra size.
Think you know the answer there? Then head to usaquizshow.com/riddle to send in that answer and win that prize. Then find out the correct answer when we post it next week on our social media. We are at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter. Maybe there's another podcast out there whose hosts you would like to see come compete on our show. If you have one in mind and you'd love to see that happen, let us know about it at usaquizshow.com/dreamteam. Thanks for that riddle, Dan. How about an update on the scores?
You got it, Taylor. Liz was nearly perfect in round two. She now has 170 points. Scott has 90, and Rob's in third with 80. That means he'll get to go first in round three, and we'll need 9 correct answers to tie and 10 correct answers in order to pull into first.
9 and 10 are very doable numbers because anything can still happen here in the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in their chosen category as they can. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are The New West, Based on Movement, This Category Really Ties the Room Together, and I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too. Now, those topics are a little bit mysterious based on their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or maybe keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Rob, in third place, you get first pick. Which of these four categories would you like? Once again, they are The New West, Based on Movement, This Category Really Ties the Room Together, and I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too.
I'm going to choose I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too.
You got a guess as to where this category is going, Rob?
It sounds like a very Cold War-esque movie category.
You are right on about all pop culture involving the Cold War, with a nod to that Sting song there in the title. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Rob, are you ready?
Yes.
The common name for this comedy skips the phrase, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Dr. Strangelove.
He finally wins a Best Actor Emmy for the final season of The Americans.
Pass.
Black Ops is a Cold War-set 2010 installment of this video game series.
Rainbow Six.
Call of Duty. The Hunt for Red October is the cinematic debut of this Tom Clancy character.
Jack Ryan.
Her first album, The Archandroid, contains the song Cold War.
Pass.
A 2000 movie about the Cuban Missile Crisis takes place over this many days.
13 days.
Kurt Russell sticks it to the Soviets as this hockey coach in Miracle.
Herb Brooks.
This series has 3 seasons set in 1983, 86, and 89.
Pass.
Roger Waters performed this Pink Floyd album at Potsdamer Platz in 1990.
The Wall.
Cold War director Pavel Pawlikowski calls this country home.
Poland.
The 1983 movie The Right Stuff was remade as a series on this streaming platform in 2020.
This was Apple Plus.
Disney Plus. This Fargo actor plays Nikita Khrushchev in 2018's The Death of Stalin.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi right at the buzzer. Well done, Rob. All right, Dan, let's hear the Rob report.
Rob gave us a couple of passes to go over, so let's do those first. It was Matthew Rhys who won a Best Actor Emmy for the final season of The Americans. Janelle Monáe has the song Cold War on her first album. And the show is Deutschland, Deutschland 1983, Deutschland 1986, and Deutschland 1989. Rob had 7 correct answers, giving a total of 150 points. That's a respectable score, but not enough to take the lead today. Scott is up next. He's got 90 points. That means he'll need to get 8 correct answers in order to tie Liz, and 9 in order to pull into the first.
All right, Scott, 3 category choices left. They are The New West, Based on Movement, and This Category Really Ties the Room Together.
I think I'm going to go with This Category Really Ties the Room Together.
Where do you think this is going, Scott?
Maybe Jeff Bridges or Coen Brothers, or it's a Big Lebowski reference. So.
It is, and you're spot on that it is all about the Coen Brothers, movies written and or directed by Joel and or Ethan Coen. 90 seconds on the clock. Scott, are you ready?
Ready.
The opening scene of Fargo takes place in this U.S. state.
North Dakota.
This Coen-created folk singer was inspired by Dave Van Ronk.
Llewyn Davis.
Without Ethan, Joel adapted this Shakespeare play for the screen in 2021.
Macbeth.
In the 80s, Joel and Ethan briefly lived with Frances McDormand and this Raising Arizona star.
Nicolas Cage.
Holly Hunter. This toy is Norval Barnes' first invention for Hudsucker Industries.
Pass.
Bluegrass artist Dan Tominski provided this actor's singing voice for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
George Clooney.
This Spanish actor won an Oscar for No Country for Old Men.
Javier Bardem.
The Tom Waits segment of The Ballad of Buster Scruggs adapts a story by this American author.
Pass.
Walter, Donnie, and the Dude are members of a league for this sport.
Bowling.
Joel and Ethan edit their movies under this pseudonym.
Pass.
Joel and Ethan wrote this Hollywood satire while suffering from writer's block on Miller's Crossing.
Hail Caesar.
Barton Fink. This hunky actor sings No Dames in Hail Caesar.
Channing Tatum.
Joel and Ethan have a screenwriting credit on this Spielberg Cold War movie.
Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies, right there at the buzzer.
Lightning round question content crossover.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Scott report.
Once again, we have three passes to go over. Norval Barnes' first invention for Hudsucker Industries is the hula hoop. The Tom Waits segment of The Ballad of Buster Scruggs is based on a story by Jack London. Boy, we are all about high culture today. You know, we're really testing our players. Joel and Ethan edit their movies under the pseudonym Roderick James. Scott, with that last second answer, got 8 correct answers. You know, it's 170 points and is tied for the lead. Liz is up next. If she gets any correct, then she will take the win.
Pressure is on. Liz, 2 category choices left for you. They are The New West and Based on Movement.
No idea what either of these are, so I'm just going to go with based on Movement.
Well, whose vision is Based on Movement, Liz?
Dinosaurs?
Exactly. We are talking dinosaurs in pop culture. 90 seconds on the clock. Liz, are you ready?
Let's do it.
This Henson-created dinosaur family shares their surname with an oil company.
Sinclair.
The Land Before Time films refer to T-Rexes as these.
Pass.
This composer's The Rite of Spring underscores the dinosaur sequence of Fantasia.
Stravinsky.
This Triceratops friend to Barney loves her yellow blankie.
Pass.
Dinosaurs populate this island with King Kong.
Pass.
At the time, this Whoopi Goldberg flick was the most expensive direct-to-DVD movie ever released.
Theodore Rex?
Grumpy and Big Alice are apex predator dinos on this 70s TV show.
Land of the Lost?
This legendary cartoon voice actor was both Barney Rubble and Dino on The Flintstones.
Pass.
The Jaymascus band Dinosaur added this suffix to their name after a lawsuit.
Pass.
Mario has been known to ride this long-tongued dinosaur.
Yoshi?
This My Dinner with Andre star is Rex in the Toy Story films.
Wallace Shawn.
Dino Thunder was the name for the 12th season of this kids' action series.
Pass.
This Palme d'Or-winning Terrence Malick film features an extended dinosaur sequence.
The Tree of Life.
This dinosaur from the BC comic strip is not a tight end for the Buccaneers.
Pass.
This Stegosaurus was a good friend of Gumby.
Pass.
We'll save that for the Thunder Round. All right, Dan, let's hear the Liz report and our final scores.
You got it, Taylor. A lot of passes to get through here. The Land Before Time films refer to T-Rexes as sharp tooths. The Triceratops friend to Barney on the much-despised PBS Kids show is Baby Bop. Dinosaurs populate Skull Island along with King Kong. Mel Blanc was the voice of both Barney Rubble and Dino on The Flintstones. The Jaymascus band Dinosaur became Dinosaur Jr. after a lawsuit. And Dino Thunder was the name for the 12th season of Power Rangers. Liz got 8 correct answers. That means our final scores are Rob with 150, Scott with 170, Aaron with 250 points. It's Liz.
Liz. All right, Liz.
Congratulations.
Good game, everybody. Well done, everybody. Congratulations to Liz. But that does mean we have reached the end of the road here on the show for Rob and Scott, two absolutely fantastic players who definitely came to play here in the playoffs. For listeners who want more of Rob, Liz, and Scott, Rob's scientific research group is on Twitter at Corydon Lab. Scott is on Twitter and Letterboxd at Scarvy Dent and hosts the movie podcast Some Like It Scott. Liz is on Twitter and Letterboxd as well as Lizlet, and she's also writing about all different sorts of pop culture at consequence.net. Her personal website is lizshannonmiller.com. Links to all of these things are in your show notes, so scroll on down and check them out. One more big congratulations to Liz. Liz, you're moving on to the season championship match next week. You can also follow Liz as the popcorn box emoji over on our season 7 bracket. Well, that wraps it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for that season 7 finale. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. An old song from the Great American Songbook that is Walkin' My Baby Back Home. And that's going to walk us right into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Boy, it just the stuff that gets recorded as that gets classified as classic rock nowadays, right? I mean, you know, 1930, it's anyway. Right now, Scott has 10 points, Rob and Liz are tied for lead. They each have 20. See, the joke there was that I'm very old, so 1930 feels like classic rock. Okay,
I got it.
Yeah, we got it, it just wasn't funny.
I am but mad, blank, blank, blank. When the wind is southerly, I know a Hank from a hard saw.
Hank?
Hawk. Jesus.
Also, Taylor, we have to, before we get into it, we have to say which section we're in now.
Yes, of course.
And I have to mark that for the outro for the show. Yep.